Superhuman Channel. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. I don't know why I keep saying it's Monday, it's Friday. You people know what day it is. I know. I'll stop that stuff. Anyway, okay, so we got a really good show for you today. And this is a show that on the surface may not seem very exciting, but I predict that if you pay attention, you're going to learn some very valuable new techniques that will take your body into a totally new realm entirely, musculature, endurance, fitness, and so on and so forth. My guest today is Peter Rouse. Welcome back to the show, Peter.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you're becoming a regular installment here, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like we might make it more common.
Well, you know what's really interesting? We did the IBS show and then the follow-up to the IBS show. And I think I may have said this to you. You know, I didn't think that the IBS show was really that sexy and exciting. I didn't know. I thought that I knew that there were a lot of people who had emailed me over the past couple years saying do a show on IBS, and even some friends who asked me to do shows on IBS. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to do these shows and we'll see what happens. The shows are insanely popular. I mean, they've been posted on health and wellness boards all over the internet now.
I actually wasn't aware of that, but I have received quite a few emails too, so it's interesting to hear.
You know, I'll give you an interesting metric to take with you. When I first got started in radio, there was an old saying that if you received a phone call in reference to a comment or something, you know, an angry listener or a concerned listener would call the station and say, "Hey, I just heard so and so say something," that represents 250 other points of view. And if you receive a snail mail, that is equivalent to 1,000 other points of view. So in other words, if you receive a snail mail, there's 1,000 other people who feel the same way. If you receive a phone call, there's 250 people that feel the same way. I kind of think that email is somewhere in between both of those. So if you've received two or three emails, then there's probably a couple thousand people out there who have similar questions. So if you have received some of these emails, we really do need to keep track of them, I think, so that we can follow up on them later on.
Yeah, okay. I'll definitely send you a copy of what I've received as well.
Yeah, we'll do follow-up shows on them for sure. Absolutely. Anyway, okay, today's show is interesting, and something that a lot of people probably don't realize about you, because we did introduce you to the audience talking about IBS, and you have a vast knowledge of physiology as well. I mean, exercise physiology, and that's something that people may not be aware of. So just give a little bit of your background first in that area.
Well, actually, I have a PhD in exercise physiology, so you know, I've been involved with that field probably about 20 years now, or just a little bit over 20 years. I've worked with, you know, a lot of athletes, both professional level and Olympic level. So I come from a bit of a vast background there. And we work with a lot of rehab as well. So we kind of work with rehabbing a lot of these athletes to a point where, you know, we get them through to the performance aspect as well.
Right. Okay. So there you go. So you're degreed in this area. So when we talk about this sort of stuff, I don't want people to think, well, gee, what's the IBS guy know about exercise? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're going to talk about something today that has really become, by far, one of my favorite movements to perform, that I think that not enough people actually utilize this movement and not enough people pay attention to it and think it's really important. And that is the farmer's walk. For those people out there who don't even know what a farmer's walk, what I'm talking about, why don't you explain what the farmer's walk is?
It's pretty simply just you pick up a couple of weights and walk, and it's basically a loaded walking locomotion.
Right. And the reason it's called a farmer's walk is because farmers most likely carried bales of hay this way. You put one bale of hay in each hand so that you were balanced instead of tilted one side, or they carried buckets, and so on and so forth. And hence it was coined the name farmer's walk probably many, many years ago, obviously. So.
Yeah, obviously, but also the loads have kind of greatly increased since then too, I think.
Yes, insane amounts of weight. If you've ever watched any of the strongmen competitions, you'll see guys like Mario Puzanowski. carrying in like 300 pounds in each hand and then walking. My good friend Mike Miller had an insane farmer's walk. It takes a lot of grip strength to execute it properly. But they carry some amazing weight, these guys, huh?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, even up to 400 pounds per side. So, I mean, the loading on that is just incredible. That's 800 pounds walking down, you know, maybe as far as 100 yards.
Right. Now, a lot of people think the farmer's walk is important just for grip strength. They look at the farmer's walk as a movement just for grip strength. But what I've learned over the years from my own experience with it, as well as talking to guys like Mike Boyle and Dan John, the farmer's walk really hits the whole damn body, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it ties all the linkage together and the entire stabilization system. So you're working everything in one go. Of course, a lot of people feel it initially in the grip strength because the fact that that's usually a weak link for most people. So they fail in the grip before anything else. So that's what they kind of assume, it works your grip. But once they start to, you know, solve that problem with the grip strength, then they can get up to some more serious loading and start to really feel what's going on through the entire body.
Now, you feel strongly that people who do want to do farmer's walk should not just pick up dumbbells and start walking with them, right?
No. What we kind of like to do, we do a full, you know, biomechanical assessment when we're working with people. And with the core involvement, it's huge core involvement there, both the posterior and anterior core. We want to look at making sure the core is functioning correctly, and we look at the core in the sense of the inner unit and the outer unit. The inner unit we're looking at is that deep stabilization mechanism, which you know, may have heard of the transverse abdominis. You know, they've got the pelvic floor musculature, milk tuberous, internal obliques, and so forth. They all kind of stabilize that inner unit function before you start working on the outer unit. Now, the outer unit is where the farmer's walk will come into it. But if you don't have function on the inner unit, then working on the outer unit is actually setting you up for potential injury in the long run and also faulty motor equipment patterns, which of course disrupt the learning pattern as well.
And the truth of the matter is, when you have weak links in a movement like this, you can actually precipitate long-lasting injuries if you're not cautious. It shouldn't be. People just assume, I'm picking up dumbbells and walking with them. What's the big deal? And that probably is true if you're just picking up 25-pound dumbbells. But if you're picking up significant weight, 100 pounds a hand and up, your body is really being, there's a great demand on the whole body. And so you really need to make sure. So what is it that you like to do with people before they start farmer's walks?
Well, we go through an assessment process of, testing the inner unit. A little bit difficult to kind of explain, but we do go through joint and maneuvers and so forth and make sure that people actually have activation. If they can't activate the muscle, then of course it's not going to activate when they're working with, you know, the global system as well. So we do a series of inner unit tests. Also very important there is the shoulder girdle as well, because that's what's going to hang it off. And most people don't have the shoulder scapular stability and thoracic mobility that goes along with that to be able to carry actually these things. So very important, probably even maybe more important, is to assess that shoulder girdle as well.
And, you know, the interesting thing about the farmer's walk is the two things that it's made strongest for me were indirect. I mean, I didn't think it was going to happen, but my upper chest and upper back has gotten so much thicker, as you're saying, the shoulder girdle, and my hips have gotten so much stronger from walking with weight.
Well, actually, when you start getting up to some serious load with the farmer's walk and, you know, some other these other strongman type exercises, the actually loading you can get up to is beyond the capability of the actual hip stabilization mechanism. So that's where, you know, the muscles like the quadratus lumborum or the, you know, some of that thicker core musculature comes in to help kick in and actually compensate for that. So that's where you kind of get so much more of the recruitment in the core as well because of the loading.
Okay, so clearly you want people to be aware that the abdominal muscles, and all of them, the obliques and so on, need to be firing properly before they engage in some heavy farmer's walks. And so should they start doing some abdominal exercises, assuming that they're not going to go for testing? Should they, hyperextensions and stuff like that?
Oh, definitely not. Let's look at the shoulder girdle first. I mean, the simple one you can do with shoulder girdle is get into a push-up position with your, arms extended, and just have someone look at your scapula. If your scapula is winging, you obviously don't have the scapular stability to even stabilize your own body weight.
What do you mean? You said your scapulas are winging, you said?
Yeah, basically, if you're in a push-up position and you look at the scapula or the shoulder blades, if they kind of sticking out of your back,
like boobs on your back.
Yeah, basically boobs on your back, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
If they're sticking out like that, that means that you don't have the stability there, and you need to work on that first, because any loading on that is going to cause some serious damage to the musculature supporting that, and that could be like a lot of people get rotator cuff tears and stuff like that, and that could be part of it.
Right, because the farmer's walks are notorious for pulling the shoulders really out of the joints if you're not careful. All right, look, we're going to come back with Peter Rouse. We're going to talk more about the preliminary work that needs to be done before doing heavy farmer's walks and why you should use the farmer's walk in your own routine. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oops, I did it again, baby.
Yeah,
the ladies are gonna love you.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Peter Rouse. We're talking about the farmer's walk. A simple movement, but one that deserves some respect of preparation because it's quite demanding on the body. Okay, so if your scapulas are weak, you need to do some work on your scapula exercise. Actually, push-ups are really good for the scapula, from what I understand. Would you agree with that?
Actually, no. problem is that if someone's already got scapular winging, as we call it, then they should not be doing a push-up. A push-up, if you look at it, is when we refer to open and chain and closed chain exercise as a closed chain exercise. Most upper body movements occur in what we call open chain. That kind of like if you imagine a squat is your closed chain. This is very simplified, but a squat is a closed chain. A leg press is open chain. Same thing for the upper body. A push-up is going to be your closed chain. A bench press is a open chain. Okay? So if you look at most, instances with upper body movement, it all happens in the open chain. So we actually need to stabilize it first in the open chain before you get to the closed chain. So someone who can't scapula stabilize in the closed chain doing a push-up have no right doing a push-up.
Gotcha.
We need to back it right back down to maybe looking at even deficiency and strength in the serratus anterior, which is, one of the key muscles there with stabilizing that scapula, and then tying it into, we'll start people on bench press before we start with push-up, because a bench press, they can focus on that scapula stability with a lighter load. With a push-up, you can have as much as 60% of your body weight loaded through there, and it's very difficult to unload that unless you start shifting into a more vertical position, and then you start changing and altering the gravitational force vector, which kind of alters the whole mechanics. So we need to kind of play around with more what we call SA presses. It's just like a bench press at the top, pushing out the shoulder blades. So do you know what I'm talking about there? So you're overreaching the bench press?
Yeah.
Okay, so kind of something like that would be efficient to kind of start to strengthen that. We kind of break it down a lot more, but that'll be a good way for listeners to kind of start with just a overreaching bench press type movement before they try to do a push-up type movement with that.
Okay. And so what's the what other issues do you find that need to be addressed first?
Well, shoulder impingement these days is actually becoming really common. So a quick test they can do is, to check, make sure they don't have shoulder impingement is crossing the right hand to left shoulder and lifting the elbow in the air.
Yeah, see, I've got that because you want to know something? That hurts me so bad. I know what you grab your right shoulder with your left hand so that your elbow is actually in the same plane as your face, and then lift your elbow from below your chin to your forehead. It's almost like a hinge movement, and damn, that hurts my shoulder.
You have shoulder impingement.
So that's what I've got, shoulder impingement.
Yeah, maybe a couple other things there, but definitely that tells us that you need to address that before you start loading the shoulders.
Okay, so that's another show, shoulder impingement. Okay, so you have to address shoulder impingement first. So you're saying farmer's walks are probably not a good idea for me right now.
Probably not, but with what we can show you, we can work on you, and within one session, maybe two sessions, you're fixed.
Okay. All right,
but most people are kind of, your tests, a lot of people do that test with their shoulder impingement. You're probably going to get about 20% fail that test anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right, so what's next that has to be addressed?
Then we look at the core. One quick core test they can do is, everybody knows the bird dog exercise, I assume.
Right.
On your hands and knees, reaching out one hand and reaching back with the opposite leg.
Right.
Okay, we do one which is a little bit more difficult. It's the rotary stability. It is you're reaching back with the right leg, reaching forward with the right hand, so it's the same side.
Oh, wow. How the hell do you stay? How do you stay up?
The core. The whole point of that is to test the stabilization of the core and how the core works in producing.
It's acceptable to rotate on your left hip and your left shoulder to kind of lift your body to compensate for the pull down?
Well, you're allowed to shift across laterally, but no more than the center line. So you'll find it very, very difficult. If you go on to YouTube and just type in rotary stability test, I'm sure you're going to pull up half a dozen videos of it. And then what you want to do is when you're doing that, the whole point, most people can't even get the hand and knee off the ground. But if they do, what we want to look at is how stable is the lower back. People are going to be all over the show with the lower back and moving into an arch and rotating and falling over. It's kind of a test which is designed to make people fail. It's because this illustrates the weakness through that anti-rotary stability of the core.
Okay.
So that's a quick one. And the quick way to fix that is to do things like the bird dog, and side bridges, and stuff like that. Things that don't involve actually creating movement. No one should ever do a sit-up, and that's actually going to destruct your back even further if you do sit-ups and crunches.
Yeah. And when, if you really look the stomach, the abdominal area and its associated muscles are designed to keep the spine from overextending. So this idea of doing crunches to hit your stomach, in my humble opinion, is an exercise in futility. If you want to exercise your stomach, I like to take that wheel that you hold between your hand and then extend my body all the way out until it's almost like a plank and then pull it back.
Yeah, we use that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I find that activates my, and the other thing that activates my stomach dramatically is hanging completely upside down in my inversion table where my body isn't touching the table. It's just, my body is just hanging. My abdominal muscles have to fight to help to keep my spine from coming apart. And that really activates my stomach a great deal as well.
Yeah, that has the same effect. And you can do also, even if you look at heavy chin-ups and pull-ups and stuff like that, you know, the core involvement with that as well, especially when you're doing loaded ones, it comes along that kind of same pattern as what you're just talking about.
Right, right.
But all these, if you notice, most of these movements are kind of involved on the floor. So what we've got to look at is the force vectors are different when they're horizontal compared to vertical. So then we've got to start looking at the vertical force vectors, which is comes to what you're doing when you're doing a farmer's walk. So if you look at the force through the spine is horizontal, so it's perpendicular to, you know, the gravitational pull. But when you're standing, that compression is totally different. So training on the floor doesn't really carry over that much to being in a standing or biped position. So that's why when you start with a farmer's walk, eventually you want to start light and easy to build that up. You got to think about it, that just because you're strong on the floor doesn't mean you're strong standing up.
Right. Okay, are we going to, do you want to move to the farmer's walk? Or you have some other things you want to talk about first?
No, that's, I mean, that gives people a basic to start with and hopefully prevent people getting injured anyway.
And I'm going to actually start working on these things because it'll probably help my farmer's walk get stronger even faster now. So this is really good stuff. Okay, so now when we talk about the farmer's walk, once people are prepared to start to walk, is there a rule of thumb, a ratio of weight, body weight to dumbbell weight that you should start out with, or do you just grab dumbbells that you feel comfortable walking around with and start walking with them?
Well, I like to use kettlebells rather than the dumbbells to start with.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Just because of the vertical loading there. The loading, you know, gravitational loading pull is different, so actually it's a little bit better using the kettlebell over the dumbbell. And people can try this. Use the same weight on the kettlebell as you're doing on the dumbbell, and you'll see the difference.
Oh, I can go much heavier on a kettlebell than I can a dumbbell because the dumbbells want to unwrap your hands. They want to unroll in your hands, where the kettlebells, the weight is beneath the hand, so it's pulling down as opposed to rotating, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, there is a different kind of load vector there as well. So that's kind of where I'd start with it. And, you know, that's assuming that their walking mechanics is okay, of course. I mean, if they're walking all crooked to start with, we'd want to address their gait analysis and everything as well. But let's say they've got that all tuned up, then we'll start with the kettlebells, just using it for lighter load, working on the posture position, making them aware of the core involvement with it. Most people just think about the shoulders and the grip. So they've got to become aware of that core involvement involved with stabilizing the pelvis during locomotion. So we kind of walk with them, you know, palpitate the core musculature, just make them wake up and be aware of it. The big one there, people aren't aware of, is the loading on the erectae spinae, you know, the big back muscles there. And that's a really key exercise. Most people think about training the core. They train the anterior core. They do all this abdominal stuff, but they forget about the posterior.
Right.
And this is where the farmer's walk is incredibly effective for post rehab work and stuff like that as well, is strengthening that for, you know, back patients and so forth.
What about people who have had hip issues? Like, I have a good friend, Carmella, who had a hip surgery, and she was a female bodybuilder, and she hasn't been training as much because of that. So would the farmer's walk be beneficial to help her recuperate her hip?
Would she have? Did she have a resurfacing or a hip replacement?
No. She had some sort of something cut out of the hip bone itself, I guess. It was some sort of a tumor or something like that.
I think it would be a good way to kind of build up again, you know, progress it. That's the whole, people kind of get too keen to kind of get up to the bigger loads that they see on TV and stuff.
Right.
But you want to start light and progress it up.
So what is light? If let's say I'm at my gym and I don't have kettlebells available to me, can I use, like, should I start out with like 50s or 70s? Does it depend on if I feel comfortable with that kind of weight?
Oh, you're talking pounds now, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'll actually, believe it or not, just to get used to that, I'll start with 10 pounds. As low as 10-pound dumbbells to work on the mechanics.
You've got so
to
that you get your spine straight, you're standing erect properly. What about tracking your feet? Should I be walking where my path is, you know, my feet are coming very close together, or do I want to be wide and waddling with the weight?
You don't want to waddle. What you want to do is walk you get, what I usually do with people is just get them to walk down without any weight, and then that's the way I want to see it when I add some weight.
Gotcha.
So it should be the same as your normal gait that you actually would be walking. So definitely not going to, you know, struggle with it and anything like that, and definitely not a closer walking stance, but something that would normally be just your normal gait, because that's okay. What you want to reinforce.
Okay. All right, so once you've determined that they're walking properly and they're using very little or very, very light weight, at that point in time, do you say, okay, let's progress to a heavier weight?
I look at what their weak links are. I mean, as I mentioned, there's usually the grip strength. I think you probably experienced that yourself, did you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and I got a question about that I was going to ask in the next segment. But, yes, the grip strength, my grip always gives out way before the rest of me gives out. And that's why I keep using the heavy weight, because I'm waiting for my grip to catch up with my body.
Yeah. A lot of people kind of think, okay, I'll use some wrist straps, but that's kind of compensating for the weak link. So that's actually going to take them further away from where they want
to
be.
And that's what I say. Okay. I haven't gone to wrist straps because I understand that I don't want to take the work away from my grip. I want my grip to get stronger. But there are times where I'm midway around the gym and I've got to make it back. And so what I will do is I'll resort to the hook grip, where you put your thumbs underneath your fingers, so to speak, as opposed to a normal grip, just so I can get home with them. Otherwise, I got to leave them where they are and leave the gym, you know.
Well, that's actually how I deadlift. I use a hook grip on the deadlift exclusively. So that's a very, very good way to
now
do
you're,
it.
You're an animal. You and my friend Wade Johnson. Wade pulls an 800-pound deadlift with a hook grip. My thumbs would come off. I use the hook grip as a last resort because it hurts my thumbs so bad.
you got to build it up. I mean, yeah. I did years of Olympic lifting too, which helped with that as well. But you combine it, just basically start doing all your simple movements, even like the dumbbell rows and bent over rows, whatever you may be doing, row movements. Start using the hook grip, and that actually will start to improve that hook grip strength.
But you don't feel like the hook grip. Don't you feel like the hook grip is kind of cheating?
No.
Okay.
Not really. It depends if you want to work on it. If the grip is your weak link, then yeah, sure, I'd go with that and build it up a little bit with traditional grip.
Right.
In addition to that, I might do some things like the bottom up carry, which is using the kettlebells, and you're basically holding your kettlebells up in front of you with the elbow locked into your sides, and you had to carry them upside down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that involves the core kicking in, but the grip involvement with that tying in with the core is really, you can't use a lot of weight to start with it. We have people start with all our kettlebells in kilos, so we have people start with 8 kilo
right, like a 16-pound, 17-pound weight, in other words, basically.
Yeah, and they start with that, and they're losing it just with that amount of load. But eventually they can do it with, 60, 70 pounds.
Wow.
So it's a matter of just building up that, and that will actually really improve some of the grip strength. We may do plate carries as well to improve that, the grip strength with the fingers as well.
Yeah.
People kind of start to lose their finger grip.
Right.
So we use the rubber bumper plates, of course.
Yeah, so they're harder to grab. There's no lip on those.
Yeah, yeah. So we kind of carry those things around. You may only need to carry a 45-pound, one of those around, and you'll find that we'll really start to work on that finger grip strength.
Hey, Peter, let's do this. We'll come back and we'll catch back up with grip strength here. We're going to go into a quick commercial break. I want to tell people how they can find you. If you have questions for Peter Rouse, you can reach him at his website at afperformancecenter.com. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, performancecenter.com. And you can contact him there if you have questions about being assessed or any of the stuff that we talk about here on Superhuman Radio. And if you have a question that you'd like Peter to address on a future show, email it to onair@superhumanradio.com. That's onair@superhumanradio.com. We'll be right back. DJ Braun knows how to get in shape and stay in shape. He's appeared in numerous bodybuilding and fitness magazines, and now he's ready to help you. Whether you're a man or a woman, PJ Braun has the expertise to help you reach your goals faster and easier than ever before. Utilize his one-on-one distance training services, and your friends will want to know what your secret is, but we'll never tell. Services are affordable and customizable to suit your individual needs. Nutrition, training, and supplementation are all covered. Stop spinning your wheels and start building the body that you've always dreamed of. Go to PJBraun.com PJBRAUN.com today. That's PJBRAUN.com.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development. A company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All-American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All-American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Confused about which creatine product to take? Ancient Strength solves that problem. Ancient Strength combines the three most effective forms of creatine, creatine monohydrate, creatine phosphate, and creatine pyruvate, into a single product. Ancient Strength will propel your workouts to amazing new levels. Ancient Strength will give you the strength of your ancestors so you can push through those plateaus, eke out those last few reps that are the most productive in building new muscle. Get Ancient Strength today at needtobuildmuscle.com. Harness the strength of your ancestors with Ancient Strength. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Telephone's best right here.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Peter Rouse. Peter, were you talking to me just now, or?
No, sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
I was having a conversation there.
No worries. Anyway, and we were talking about grip strength as we went into the break. You know, and really grip strength is the weak link of this movement, because I think a lot of people could probably walk for a lot longer, but their hands give out.
Yeah, and another way, I mean, besides the exercise I described before the break there, one thing they can do is throw away those wrist straps and start lifting with their grip in the gym, you know.
Right.
It may sacrifice some of their weights for a little while, but it will definitely come up. And with all my clients I'm working with and myself, grip strength is not an issue once we get through that barrier. With a deadlift, though, I mean, a word of warning there, a lot of people like to use the reverse grip there, the alternating grip.
Right, which that definitely does help, again, because the bar doesn't want to rotate out of your hand.
Well, unless you're a competitive powerlifter for competition, I don't recommend that because of the fact of the shear forces through the cervical thoracic spine there, because you're rotating that torque through that thoracic and cervical spine junction, and that causes a lot of stress in that area. So
really?
If you are doing deadlift, yeah. I mean, competitive powerlifter is going to benefit, but that's for someone who's going to be in a competition, so it makes a difference. But if you're not in a competition, you know, why take the risk in doing that?
Now, so you really think, unless it's a powerlifter, that they should have both palms neutral when they do a deadlift then?
Yeah, and I think they should use the, as we were talking about before, you know, that grip, the hook grip.
Hook grip. So maybe I'll try. See, I gave up straps about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and it did. My deadlift ended up having to go backwards for a little while until my grip strength caught up. But now I don't use straps for anything any longer.
What I tell people with that, though, is that kind of, you know, it's a bit of an ego thing for people to get over that. So, you know, I tell them, okay, on the last set, go as heavy as you want with the straps, but that's only on your last set. And, you know, before that, you've got to use no straps. So if they want to use a heavy set, just to make sure they're keeping up that loading, then, you know, they can use it on their very last set.
Okay. All right. So once the grip is no longer an issue, and now people want to start doing the farmer's walk. And I wonder why people don't do more farmer's walking. But then I realize that I kind of look like a goofball. I think I'm the only guy that farmer's walks in my gym. And now there's another guy that just started. He started the last time I farmers walked. He came over to me and he goes, I grew up on a farm and, you know, I used to carry stuff, bales of hay and stuff like that. He goes, I'm going to try those. And then he was walking with me around the gym. And it becomes contagious, I think, because it really is a show of strength and endurance. Why do you think people don't farmers walk more often?
Wake up the next day and you'll find out why. It can really work things that those weak links, and you really feel them. I think they're just damn hard, for one thing. If you really get up there with some decent load, maybe over 150 pounds in each hand, that's starting to really, you know, load the body, and you can really feel it through the whole body, and it's tough.
I'll tell you something funny. I had a girl once say to me, you can always tell a bodybuilder by his proud traps. You know, she was, because I have, my traps come up all the way up into the back of my neck. And my traps, and I've never done any direct trap work, but I've always deadlifted heavy and I've always done heavy farmer's walks. And the only thing I can think of that has built my traps the way it has is the farmer's walks. When you're doing those last few distances, I mean, literally, I could feel from the base of my head, my back of my skull down, just being stretched when I'm just trying to get home with that weight. It's just amazing.
Yeah. There's another kind of a couple of things I forgot to mention earlier. I mean, some basic things that people may not be aware of is tongue placement with that as well is essential.
Really?
Okay, if you just swallow and you notice your tongue goes on the roof of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that position is a neutral physiological position for the tongue. You need to have it rested in that position there as you're doing this exercise. Now help stabilize the deep neck stabilizers, musculature of the neck. So that's a really important component there, so you get the right muscles kicking in. Otherwise, you start straining these, you know, other muscles, particularly the sternocleidomastoid mastoid, which is the SCM, and it starts to promote head forward posture and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's a really important key one there, too.
Wow, that is amazing. And you know what? I was just thinking about it. I think that when I'm coming into the home stretch and I just can't make it anymore, I actually open my mouth.
You might be gasping for air, but, yeah, you want to really try to keep that tongue pressed. You don't actually press it hard. It just has to be resting against that. It's I won't get into biomechanics of it. It's basically so that the, you know, the hyoid musculature has something to grip against, is basically, and able to stabilize the head posture. So you want to keep your head back in the right posture, of course, chest up, you know, back straight, that type of thing. So it's going to be involved with the whole postural alignment.
I farmers walk in stocking feet. You think that's a good move or a bad move?
I'd go bare feet, five fingers, you know, less support on your feet the better, because most people have weak feet. I mean, they just do so supportive feet, shoes these days, that the feet are so weak. I see patient after patient that half the problem they have with the hips and knees and stuff is because their feet are so weakened because of the shoes these days.
Well, Louis Simmons was the first person to kind of turn me on with this idea. Well, he was telling me to start, that if you're going to squat in Chuck Taylors or flats or no shoes at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I started squatting and deadlifting that way, and it made sense. You know, the whole idea that we form as a being, as, you know, babies, our spine and everything forms based on us not wearing shoes. And then we put these shoes, and everything has a lift to them nowadays. Sneakers have an inch and a half heel on them. It's ridiculous. And so I kick my shoes off when I farmers walk, and I just walk around in stocking feet. And I find that I'm much more stable, and when I try to do it in sneakers, I don't feel as sure-footed.
Definitely. I mean, I would go bare feet, too, to even get even better feedback. There's the neurological feedback, so the amount of pressure being placed on the foot that gives a neural feedback to the body that it needs to actually stabilize more. Same thing with the grip strength. Using gloves will actually decrease your shoulder stability, so it makes your shoulder more unstable because of the padding in the hand. Desensitizes the grip, the amount of load you're holding in the grip. Therefore, the shoulder is not fully aware how much it actually has to stabilize, and the same thing goes with the feet.
Well, that leads me to another question, calluses. I've developed amazing, huge calluses on the outer three fingers and the knuckle, the where the palm meets the fingers and the first knuckle of the fingers. Usually they're bleeding after I farmer's walk. And so these calluses become a source of pain. Should I be shaving them off, or just let my hands get used to it? I mean, they haven't gotten used to it in a couple of years now. So,
do you use chalk?
No, I don't.
Okay, there's your answer. Start using chalk, and that's going to decrease the amount of friction on there.
Okay,
obviously you're getting too much friction. Also, are you using dumbbells, right?
Yes, in the gym I use dumbbells, and at home I use kettlebells.
Okay, in the gym often the grip handles on the dumbbells are quite rough.
Yeah, they're knurled, right?
Yeah. So they can be a source of extra irritation there. So you may want to look at, actually, one thing that people can make really easy is get a nylon loop, put a handle on the nylon loop, just a whole, just a short, maybe a 6-inch pipe, feed it through and feed the loop around the dumbbell handles. So you actually end up, dumbbells are hanging in your hand a little bit more and from the other handle.
You know, I've actually seen power lifters bring what looks like flexible PVC with a slit cut through it that they just open up and then strap it over the handles and then grab that. But they were doing that, I thought, because they wanted to stimulate the wide grip handle. You know what I mean?
That's the Fat Grips. Actually, the best one I've seen on the market is called Fat Grips with a Z. They basically wrap around the dumbbell to make it thicker. And that's, again, an advantage neurologically as far as the neural training and neural component there. But this is actually just a steel pipe with a hollow pipe, and then you just feed a nylon around the handle. So they actually end up being like you're carrying it like a handle in a bag.
Yeah, right. I gotcha. Yeah.
You end up using a smoother handle, of course, and also you get that gravitational pull because the weight is below the handle. You've shifted the gravitational pull. So you almost got like a kettlebell kind of loading from a dumbbell.
Carmela Cierzo, who is a female bodybuilder up in Canada, just put on my Facebook that she had a tumor on the neck of the femur, and there was a bone graft done. But she could benefit from farmer's walks, I believe.
Yeah. We should probably actually have her email me directly, and I'll actually give her a direct protocol to follow through to build her up to that. Dealt with someone in a similar situation before.
And I think she's actually doing the farmer's walk already, because we did a show with Dan John where we were talking about Litvinov's style of training, and he mentioned farmer's walking for hip stability as well. So I'll definitely have her get in touch with you. We've got to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we'll finish up our discussion about the farmer's walk. And I hope to see more people. I hope I walk into a gym someday and the whole damn gym is walking around in a circle like a bunch of baby ducklings carrying dumbbells and doing the farmer's walk. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.net.
Strength, recovery, and growth are the goals, and Progenics is the way. Progenics represents advanced dairy science research, development, and biotechnology that liberates and concentrates the most effective fractions of protein. The results are increased muscle torque, faster recovery, and greater muscle growth. You won't find these ingredients in any other supplement on the market. Take the challenge. Go to progenexsrg.com to learn more about the benefits and science behind the Progenics products. Train harder than you've ever trained before. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Progenics banner ad to save 10% off your order. Progenics, where fantasy gains meet science.
Turinabol from primordialperformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at primordialperformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you'd like to contact Peter Rouse for some advice, training, nutrition, he does it all. You can go to AF Performance Center. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, performancecenter.com. He's in beautiful Santa Monica. I love Santa Monica. Anyway, okay. So, I really think that people would benefit from adding the farmer's walk to their routine. I have to tell you that since I started to farmer's walk regularly, and I mean every week, I do farmer's walk on back day. Even though people think of it as a grip movement, I tend to do it on back day, and I've been doing it instead of deadlifting because I'm using 125s and 150s. And so, you know, every time I drop them and have to pick them up, it's basically an effective deadlift. So,
yeah, pretty much.
But, I think everybody should really start doing them. I really do.
I think if you're really serious about it, anybody should be looking at the actual farmer's walk bars because that's a whole new game there, right there. You add the weights on those bars, and walking with those is going to be totally different with walking with kettlebells or dumbbells. So I think they are the best investment you can make.
Now, let's talk about once you've become an advanced farmer's walker, if there is such a term. Some of the things you can do to spice it up. My friend Dan John likes to tie sleds to people and make them farmers walk. What do you think about that?
I think that's great because it creates that posterior shear as well. So, you know, you're going to get a lot more recruitment from the posterior chain in that because you have to drag the chair, the sled behind you or tie or whatever you may be dragging behind you. I think I've seen him dragging a tie in the snow at some point in one of his videos. So, you know, anything dragging behind you is going to increase that posterior loading for the shear forces for that locomotion. So, if that's one of your weak links, it's something you could work on. There is no kind of there's a huge difference between using the kettlebells, dumbbells, and the actual farmer's walk apparatus. So I would recommend people pressure the gyms even buying them and getting them in there because for $200, I mean, you can use it not only just for the farmer's walk, but you can use it for your suitcase deadlifts, your trap bar deadlifts, and so forth as well.
Right, right. Yeah, so, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And, I can get heavier, I know I can go heavier if those darn things don't want to unroll in my hands.
Well, I'm going to send you a farmer's walk cap, the farmer's walk bars, and you're going to try those out. And once you start put some plates on those, you're pretty much unlimited how heavy you can go.
Yeah, I got a feeling that my farmer's walk is going to get real heavy real fast because I haven't really been able to truly load anything because once I get above 150s, I have a hard time. The dumbbells just want to unroll. My hands just want to unravel. I just can't keep my thumbs and index finger tight enough where the damn thing just doesn't want to unravel. So
with farmer's walk bars also, because the plates are so far away from the torso, the loading for the core is actually a lot greater, and especially on the turn. How do you find the turn at the moment when you turn?
How do I find it when I turn?
Yeah, no problem, right?
Yeah, not at all, no.
You do these bars and you try to turn, and it's so easy to overturn. You've got to really be stiff and tight as you rotate to turn around. It's... The turn itself could be a whole new exercise by itself without even the walking part.
Wow.
It's amazing. The first time people do it, I just give them the bars without any loading on it, and the bars weigh about 55 pounds. So just the bars alone, and they do it, and they actually kind of, the first time they overcompensate, it just pulls them right around, and they have to use that core musculature to resist against that, creating that what we want, which is the anti-rotary function.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. I didn't think about that, because it is. I'm looking at a picture of them now. And they look like they're about three feet long, right? The bar is about feet?
No, they're not a lot longer than that. They're about 5 feet.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, look at that. You're right, because the plates are pretty close in. Okay, yes, they are about 5 feet. So those are long suckers. How much does the individual farmer's walk bar itself weigh?
The bar itself, I mean, the ones we use are from Perform Better. So, I mean, EV ones are different, but the Perform Better one I like because, one, they're really, really cheap, and, two, I mean, the quality of them, and they've lasted me for ages. So they weigh 55 pounds.
Without anything on them?
Without anything on them. So, I mean, of course, you're going to have someone who actually can carry 55 pounds before you move them on.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay, so in summary, the Farmer's Walk is a very, very important movement. One of the things that we didn't discuss that the Farmer's Walk will do for you, but it will, is build up your endurance. A lot of people don't think of the Farmer's Walk as an endurance exercise, but you try carrying 100-pound dumbbells for 100 yards, and you'll find out that your aerobic threshold will be challenged very quickly.
Well, it pushes up your anaerobic threshold, which, of course, carries over to the aerobic threshold. So, you know, by challenging the anaerobic threshold, as you know yourself, you know, once you get pretty heavy on those things, you're kind of restricted on breathing as well. So
right.
It kind of affects you in that way, too. That could be good for fighters as well because they get restricted breathing. It's a good way to condition fighters.
That's interesting. I was going to say that when I'm doing heavy farmer's walks for long periods of time, from my shoulder girdle being pulled down, I can't take a heaving breath because I can't, my chest won't go out because I'm being pulled down. Mm-hmm. And I start to get a burning sensation almost in my lungs from trying to get air into my lungs. And that when you start getting oxygen restriction, your body really works hard.
Yeah. That's why we actually, I use them at the end of the workout rather than the beginning because you don't want to fatigue all those systems before you go and try to do your max lifts and stuff like that. So we use them as a metabolic tool at the end of the workout for metabolic training. Of course, it's more than just metabolic training, but, you know, grip gives, the core really gives out, the breathing gives out, everything gives out. So it's a really good thing to finish off with in the gym. Do you use it at the end or do you use it?
I do it as my last movement after I do everything else because the reason I do it, and I'm clearly not as intelligent as you about it. The reason I do it is because after I do my farmer's walks, which I usually do a good solid 20 minutes of farmer's walks, and that, you know, intimate, and I'm dropping them, I'm catching my breath, I grab them. I usually try to take as little rest as possible and grab them. Towards the end of the workout, I'm literally dropping them every 25 feet, breathing, grabbing them, and pulling them 25 feet, dropping them again, because my grip strength won't hold in. But after I do my farmer's walks, I'm done. There's nothing else I can do. I'm spent.
Yeah.
So that's why I do them at the end of the workout, because if I did them at the beginning of the workout, there wouldn't be any more workout.
Exactly. I mean, the overload on the entire body, it just, and the nervous system, and as we're talking about, you know, the cardiovascular system, it just taxes you. So unless you're going to do them and maybe have a half an hour break and then carry on your training, you're just going to have to leave them at the end of the workout.
You know, I'm going to say something here, and I have no way to prove what I'm saying other than anecdotally my own evidence, and I'm going to ask you to opine if you think I'm incorrect or correct. Back in the day, I remember people saying, well, you know, when you squat heavy, all your lifts go up. Everything gets stronger when you squat heavy. And that was true. Well, I want to say right now that if you start farmer's walking, and I'm talking about where you start moving considerable weight, you're in the 100-pound dumbbells or kettlebells or whatever, and you're moving up, or you're doing the farmer's walk bars. I can't speak to those because I haven't tried them yet, but I'm using 150 dumbbells. When you start farmer's walking heavy, all of your other lifts get stronger. Everything gets stronger. Your whole damn body gets stronger.
Yeah. I can say that from personal experience myself and also with everybody we worked with. Also, you know, there is research out there on the farmer's walk. You know, Stuart McGill from Waterloo University has done some deep research into the strongman events and strongman-type lifts, and he highly recommends, you know, like the farmer's walk and other ones. The recruitment of the core is just phenomenal, and the spinal erectae, it's just going to push you through the ceiling. Yeah, and of course, I mean, you strengthen your rectae is going to improve all your squats and deadlifts and everything as well.
Right.
So, again, improve performance, of course. Also, with even the, you know, sports events like football and stuff like that, with the cutting, you know, we running and cutting, it really drives out for that. And that's where we do the single arm, you know, farmer's walk. So you're holding one at a time doing the farmer's walk. The recruitment through there is just enormous.
What about alternate dumbbells? What about a 100-pound dumbbell in one hand and a 70 in the other? So you kind of causing that same imbalance where your obliques is fighting harder to stay straight.
Just make sure you alternate and keep it even. But yeah, that's you know, definitely a way to do it. But you know, you want to slowly increase that gap there so that increases the shear loading on one side, and that will improve all those lateral shifting movements that you have in most sports. Because most sporting events, if you think about it, you know, have that lateral shifting event in it, football, rugby, whatever you mentioned.
I haven't done this yet, but I've been wanting to do it ever since I remember back in the day when Brock Lesnar first became a WWE wrestler. One of the things that they always showed him doing was he used to run stairs with 70-pound dumbbells. So he mm-hmm. would farmer's walk upstairs with 70-pound dumbbells. And I've wanted to go over to the, what is it, not the Stairmaster. What do they call the actual steps that rotate? It looks like an escalator. The stairmill. Stairmill? I've actually wanted to take like some 50-pound dumbbells over to the stairmill one day and try that. Have you ever done any type of exercise like that?
I used to do it for some of the fighters I used to train. We used to kind of use medicine balls either. I mean, we're talking 100-pound medicine balls sometimes, and running upstairs with those or jumping upstairs and doing, you know, other kettlebells as well up the stairs. So we've done those before. You know, next time you're out in Santa Monica, you could try that with the Santa Monica stairs if you know what they are. People go running up and then down them, but I've never seen anybody do it with kettlebells, so it'd be interesting to see the
results. I would definitely like to try. We'll have to bring a camera, because if I actually do that, Peter, I have to record it for posterity. I don't want to do that and not have everybody know about it.
I'll video it for you.
There you go. But anyway, I really do want to see people, farmers walking. I hope to get reports back from people saying they started farmers walking, they feel great, and everybody looks at them like they're crazy in their gym, because I got to tell you, these are the forgotten movements. These are the forgotten movements that people don't look at. It's kind of like it's crude, and you know, you got to walk with them, and who really wants to do it? You start doing these and you'll see they will pay you back immensely. You'll get thicker, you'll get stronger, and you'll have greater energy. So I hope everybody tries the farmer's walk, try to integrate it back into your routine. Also, you've got to go check out Peter's website. Peter, you're an amazing individual. I want to say there's probably five individuals like you in the United States today at best. Your knowledge of nutrition, of training and supplementation goes beyond anything that I've ever seen before. And Peter has an amazing, group of resources available to him. If you have any needs whatsoever, whether they be from a health and recuperation standpoint or from a fitness standpoint for your own personal sports discipline, you can reach Peter Rouse by going to AF Performance Center. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, performancecenter.com. And amazing. The supplements that you sell. I'm just amazed. I really am. I have to say, it's almost like you're kind of like the what's his name? That Dr. Andrew Weil, but of the fitness community. You're like an integrative guy. You know what I mean? You integrate everything into the whole thing. So.
I think that is the key. You know, people need to integrate all the different systems and realize that all these things work together. So if you want to optimize your health and well-being and even your performance, you got to work with all these systems together.
Yeah. Go to afperformancecenter.com. Reach out to Peter. Communicate with him. And I'm telling you, you'll see amazing differences in the gym and in health in general. Peter, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me again there.
Okay. And we will see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio, so tune in then.